Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here, another episode of Beers with Chad. Today I'm going to be talking to you about my 10 favorite 30 for 30 documentaries. I know you got a lot of time on your hands stuck at home with the quarantine, so go check these out on ESPN Plus or wherever else you want to find them. Today I am drinking from Pizza Port Brewing down in San Clemente, California. Great pizza, great beer, Swami's IPA. Cheers. And talking about these 30 for 30s, make sure you go to jtsstrength.com, check out all of our online coaching options and all of our AI coaching, powerlifting, powerbuilding, weightlifting, jiu-jitsu, strength conditioning, all that good stuff. If you're getting an order from Virus, one of my long time favorite companies, been working with Virus for probably 6 or 7 years now, you can use JTS10 and check out Juggernaut Apparel at jtsstrength.com. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review, all that good stuff. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Enjoy.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith, Beers with Chad, here. Today, on this fine Sunday afternoon, I am drinking Swami IPA from right here in Orange County or Carlsbad, depending on which way you want to look at it. Pizza Port Brewing, very good pizza down in San Clemente, also a spot in Carlsbad. I'm not sure which one this one came from. But had a lot of good times eating pizza and drinking beer there with Team Juggernaut. Pomp, what's up, brother? This one's for you. That's good. All right, so as we continue to be stuck in the world of quarantine and hopefully trapped in your house, that's the way it's supposed to be going. You have a lot of time on your hands to watch TV, and there are a few things that I enjoy more in life than, make sure I'm in both of these screens, than 30 for 30s. 30 for 30 from ESPN, from, if you listen to the last episode, one of my favorite people, Bill Simmons, executive producer, got that going. Congrats, Bill. Holler at me, I'll come on the ringer, whatever, it'll be cool. They've got way more than 30 of them, but it started as these 30 movies to celebrate the ESPN 30th anniversary, and since I think they've done like 60 or 70 of them, as well as some what are called ESPN Films Presents, but those are really 30 for 30s as well. So if you've got the ESPN Plus app, you can watch all of these because they're all on there, and I think that ESPN is just showing them all the time now too, because they don't have anything else to show. And I wanted to talk about these because the best, what I'm assuming will be number one on this list a month from now, is on its way, The Last Dance, which is a 10-part, which if, basing this off of like OJ Made in America, 10 parts could probably mean 20 hours of viewing pleasure, and I'm looking forward to all 20 of them, covering the 1998 Michael Jordan final season with the Bulls, all kinds of turmoil. If before that comes out, if you have time, I would highly suggest reading or listening to the audiobook of Playing for Keeps about David Halberstrom, which is also about all Michael Jordan's life and career, but focuses a lot on those last ones as well. So hopping right in, my top 10 30 for 30s. Number 10, and these are in a specific order. Number 10, Pony Excess. Pony Excess is about SMU football, who was this powerhouse in the late 70s, early 80s, and then through just their brazen disregard for NCAA rules and recruiting rules about how you can't pay recruits and pay players and all that stuff, they got what was termed the death penalty, and they just didn't have football for, I think, 2 seasons, and then had massive, massive restrictions coming back from that. We're playing with little tiny guys. But prior to that, had Eric Dickerson, had track and field slash football legend Michael Carter. I could do a whole episode just talking about Michael Carter. I tried to hit him up last time I was in Dallas, but was not able to connect with him. He's the national high school record holder in the shot put, most unbreakable record possibly in all of American sports, at 81 feet 3 inches with the high school shot put. Then 8-time NCAA champion while also being an All-American defensive tackle. Then silver medal in the Olympics after his rookie year in the NFL, and then went on to win a couple Super Bowls with the 49ers. So SMU had just monsters. And it's such like a Texas kind of story. I think special part of why I'm so interested in that. My best friend Paul, he and I did track together at the University of California, Berkeley, but he transferred there from SMU. So yeah, that was kind of the SMU connection for it. So that's number 10, Pony Excess. Number 9, this is technically an ESPN film presents, but it's called Catching Hell. It is about Steve Bartman, the Cubs fan who interfered with Moises Alou trying to catch a foul ball there in left field, and which sort of spurred this comeback for the Marlins, for the Cubs to yet again have their heart broken. And it's really about how his life was ruined by this thing, and even, you know, decade plus later, I'm assuming now that the Cubs have actually won the World Series that people have hopefully forgiven Steve Bartman in the same way like Bill Buckner and the Red Sox situation, but just the absolute vitriol that people had for him and the reaction around him and everything, it was very, very interesting insight into that whole situation from all the people around it, because they couldn't interview Steve Bartman because you have to go through a lawyer to do that, and he's not about it. Number 8, this is probably a bit more of a rare pick. It is Soul Man, which is about Sonny Vaccaro. And Sonny Vaccaro is really who built, in a lot of ways, the Nike basketball brand. You know, a multi-billion dollar industry, because he was the one that got, you know, really signed Michael Jordan to Nike. He started the grassroots basketball movement through AAU and all that kind of stuff. He, when the like Air Jordan 1 type of looking shoe was really big with the in the Big East, and all the, you know, Georgetown was a power, and all these college basketball teams were wearing the Nikes. He was the first one to do that, to create that relationship between Nike and these universities. So it's a story about that. It's a story about how he's ousted from Nike, then to go on to work for Adidas and Reebok subsequently, starting the grassroots AAU stuff, I think was at Adidas, because he knew, like, all right, we can't compete with Nike for these guys coming out of college or coming straight high school to the NBA. So we're gonna get them when they're young, when they're 11 years old in AAU. And then he went on to work for Reebok, and just a foundational person in that culture of sneaker culture and the big business of basketball shoes, and then sort of saw this system that he had created, and through seeing that decided, you know, I've kind of done wrong in a lot of situations here, and from that starts working with Charles O'Bannon, or Ed O'Bannon, one of the O'Bannon brothers, who was a star for UCLA back in the mid-90s, to sue the NCAA for the players, the rights to their likenesses, which unfortunately resulted in all the NCAA football and basketball games not existing anymore. But I hear that they're about to make a comeback, so that's exciting. So Soul Man, story of Sonny Vaccaro, very good. Number 7 is Of Miracles and Men. And this is the story of the Miracle on Ice, 1980 Olympic hockey, U.S. defeating the Soviet Union, told from the opposite side, from the Soviet Union side. And the reason that I enjoy it so much, just because it, you know, besides it just being an interesting take on a very well-known story, it also shows a lot of cool clips of the Soviet team training, like dry land, general physical preparation training, And if you're familiar with the montage from Rocky IV of Ivan Drago training in this really fancy, you know, steroid-fueled laboratory, and Rocky training in the barn, the reality of that in the America versus Russia situation was it was the Russians who were training much more in the barn setting and the Americans more in the laboratory. They were both doing steroids, though. I don't know about the hockey guys, but this was the 80s, so, you know, fuck it. So it shows some cool clips of that and some interesting insight about how their coach developed, just how the Soviet hockey program developed. Because into, like, the late 50s or early 60s, Russia didn't play hockey. They played bandy. And if you are the most diehard Jug Life podcast fan, you are already familiar with bandy, and you would know it as the Hydrox of hockey. Bandy is a sport recognized by the IOC at the same level that powerlifting is, and it's like hockey, but not. I don't know exactly what it is beyond it's like hockey, but not. So into like the early 60s, Russia had never played hockey. Canada dominated hockey. And from this time that they decided, all right, let's have a hockey team, they just became the best at it in very short order through their great sports school and sports science system. And to hear their